Josh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. After calls for him to be returned to the U.S. and an order from the Supreme Court, Kilmo Abrego Garcia, who was deported to his native El Salvador in March, has been returned to the U.S., only to find himself a criminal defendant. Accused of human smuggling and other charges by the Justice Department, his lawyer denies the charges. On the streets of Los Angeles, protests after a series of ICE immigration raids across the city. The demonstrators seen throwing objects, getting in front of vehicles. Mayor Karen Bass showing up at one raid site.
We know ICE has been here, but it's been for targeted arrests. This was just mass chaos, and it sows a sense of chaos in our city and a sense of terror, and it's just unacceptable.
Friday, the former police chief and convicted killer Grant Hardin captured just a mile and a half from the prison where he escaped, near the Arkansas-Missouri border. This is ABC News. The search is intensifying in Washington state for the man accused of suffocating to death his three daughters.
The search for Travis Decker is now focused in on the Pacific Crest Trail. Decker, a wilderness survival expert and military veteran, is believed to maybe be traveling the trail. People nearby are being told to keep buildings locked and lights on. Ariana Cozart is the attorney for his ex-wife, who says Decker has mental health issues and his ex-wife has empathy for him as he's on the run.
He was a very loving man. But something broke.
Decker's ex-wife is pushing for changes to the Amber Alert system since the case did not trigger one because there was no evidence of a kidnapping. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Hundreds filled the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Friday for a Unite for Veterans rally. The USDA says the national average wholesale price of eggs increasing again, up 11 cents to $2.63 per dozen last week amid new bird flu outbreaks and weak demand. Agency says shoppers less interested in buying eggs than typically heading into June. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Mino and the mayor.
DeLorean Walls in the house.
Y'all have been such a powerful platform for so many, including myself, that's bringing so much awareness. And just because the last couple of times I've been on the show, so many people have been asking, how can we help serve? And if we can get that normal, our community is going to flourish even further.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important. And it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers take on the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 2 of a 3-game series is tonight in Milwaukee between the Brewers and the San Diego Padres. Last night, the Brewers shut out 2-0. Milwaukee with just 4 hits and several times leaving 2 men on with 2 outs, unable to score any runs. Manager Pat Murphy.
We leave 10 on base. That's a tough go when you don't score and leave 10 on base. You know, there was some opportunities there, but, you know, Churio hits the ball on the barrel 4 times and gets one hit. We didn't get the timely hit. Give them credit. They executed, and they got the big home run when they needed it.
A special guest, Packers rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden, on hand to throw out the first pitch. Over 32,000 fans in attendance. In La Crosse, Wisconsin, it's the state high school track and field meet in Division I. Grady Len from DePere ran the 1,600-meter race in just 4 minutes and 1.7 seconds, setting a new state record. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny, highs in the upper 70s today. Slight chance of a thunderstorm this afternoon. Chance of a storm tonight with a low around 55. Showers and thunderstorms on Sunday with a high near 75. Clearing out tomorrow night with a low around 52. Monday, showers in 67.
Right now, it's 62.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 p.m., I'll be joined with UW-Wisconsin Law School professor Aaron Barbato to talk about immigration processes. We dispel myths and give you the real scoop.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't believe in sex after marriage, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back. We are kicking off Act Two. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. So great to have you with me on this Friday night as we head into what should be a beautiful half weekend. And when it sucks or when it rains, you've got movies, folks. Life is good. Great to have you. Conrad is riding shotgun. What did I say at the beginning of the show? You're here.
I'm not just sitting. I'm also,
you're pushing buttons. Find a comfortable chair. We talked to Mike Clemens in the first hour, got a little update on some sports topics. Boy, that sounded like I don't know anything about sport. We talked about some sports games.
Go team.
Yeah, I love sports. I really do. I just don't talk about them very articulately. We've got a lot of fun still coming up in the show. My pal Mark Unger will be here in just a minute. We're going to talk about the ending, the controversial ending to The Sopranos, which I've been on the fence about, but I think I like. We'll talk about that with Mark in just a few minutes. It is a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr is on vacation, but her pal from Max Inc. Radio, Rocker, will fill in like he did last week. And that will be fun. They always bring great music and sparkling conversation. Always a good time. Our question of the night in honor of National Donut Day is, what is your favorite donut? Style or brand? Go. Go, baby. Tell us what your favorite donut is. There is no right or wrong answer. Only yours. I said a chocolate cake donut with white frosting. Conrad said a custard-filled Long John with chocolate frosting.
And sprinkles.
There's a lot going on there. That is a lot.
If I'm doing a donut, I'm doing it right.
It's a very busy donut. But let us know what yours is. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Lots of fun still to come. So be part of the show. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome a guy I've known for quite a while. We met on the stand-up comedy circuit, and he is also a very respected actor and the creator of the show Thespian. And he's my pal, and he joins us now on the phone, Mark Unger. Hey, buddy.
Powdered jelly.
Okay. Oh, we have not heard that yet. Now, is that an East Coast thing, Mark?
What's that?
Is that an East Coast donut?
They don't have those in the Midwest.
Well, the fact that you know what they have here? They have Kringle and these crazy coffee cakes that have like 8,000 calories per bite.
Yeah, and like a brat donut.
Yeah. Oh, no, now you're talking. It's good to talk to you, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing very well. You're in Baltimore these days, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm from New York, but my family moved here when I was a kid, and then I started my career in Chicago, New York, L.A., and now married and happy and making stuff in Baltimore.
All right. Charm City. I love it. So All right, so let's jump right in, Mark. I know we're kind of, I kind of got the sense I was pulling you away from something tonight, but you still wanted to do it, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
You had a great post about The Sopranos, and this is probably, what, close to 20 years since it's been off the air. People are still talking about it. It's one of the most talked about endings. Give me your overall thoughts, and then I'll share mine.
Well, okay, I remember, what was it, 2007, which is a long time ago now.
Yeah.
You know, when it first aired, and I watched it, you know, I had that same feeling that everybody had, like, whoa, what happened? Did my cable go out? Was there something wrong? And I wasn't, like, angry the way some people were, but I was definitely a little, like, perplexed, like,
Yeah.
That was weird. That was different. But pretty early on, you know, I came to the realization that, wow, that's freaking brilliant.
Right.
The show ended it ended with a breathing, alive Tony. And whatever happens next, that's all fan theory.
Right. I mean,
you can argue, well, did he die? Did he not die? Did he go on to, you know, get his own gangster podcast? But none of that matters.
Right.
Because the show ended with him looking up at the door. And that was it. And you sort of have to respect that. But of course, you then start to think, well, you know, is that a cop out? You know, should David Chase have, you know, given the audience what some people would consider to be a more satisfying ending? I think it was the most satisfying ending you could possibly have because you get to fill in the blanks. And, you know, I mean, look, Tony Soprano's a psychopath. So Tony Soprano, if anyone should die, it should be Tony Soprano, right? And he's done horrible, horrible things in his life. But the fact that he didn't, and you can decide for yourself whether or not he did, that becomes like a choose-your-own-adventure kind of thing, which is brilliant. It's, I mean, you look at, like, Mad Men, which is actually my favorite. I mean, to me, Sopranos is like a very, very close second. But to me, Mad Men is the most brilliant television of all time. And that ending was great, too. And, you know, he's doing the yoga thing, and he thinks of the famous Coke commercial. And that's great. But it's not as brilliant as the ending to The Sopranos.
Interesting. I love that you really own this. In your post, you called it just that, the most brilliant ending to a series of all time. I think it's the Newhart show when he wakes up and he's in the other show.
That's a good one. that would be in the conversation.
Yeah. But I think it's strange that it's almost an ode to Tony Soprano that David Chase did not kill him off and let us see it. Because you're right. He was a despicable person. I could have been okay either way. But how do you – that's almost not as satisfying if you see him die. And I felt like they kind of set up that they might kill him off violently after what he did to Christopher, his own nephew.
Sure.
But it is kind of an ending where the bad guy, in a way, gets away with it, even though, like you say in your post, you really don't think he does. Most likely he died immediately after in front of his family.
Well, you know what? To say most likely, that's something that I came to kind of, you know, I've watched the show a million times. And I happen to be, you know, to me, it's like comfort food, which is crazy that a show about psychotic mafia guys would be my comfort show. But it is.
Yeah, you got some issues. Yeah, that's all right.
I do. I have got tons of issues. but, you know, I was watching it, and I happened to watch it that morning, and I noticed for the first time the opening shot.
Yeah. And
it's Tony, you know, he's on the cot. They've gone to the mattresses or whatever, and he's on his cot. And his eyes are closed, and it's a tight shot, you know, a pretty tight close-up. And he's on a pillow that very much resembles a, you know, the pillow that you would have in a casket. And, you know, then his eyes open, and the episode begins. But that opening shot could easily be Tony Soprano in a casket. And when I thought about that, and then I watched the episode, and then I watched the ending, you know, as filmmakers, as storytellers, the idea of bookending an episode visually, you know, is really important. And if you add that extra shot that we don't get to see, it opens with Tony Soprano looking like he might be in a casket and could conceivably end with him actually being in a casket. So I came to the conclusion that that is, how can I say this? That is the ending that might have been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because yeah. The ending is very definitive. People say, well, I don't know what the ending was. No, the ending is definitive. The ending is a guy with his family eating onion rings and looking up at a door when the bells ring. That's the ending of the show. Everything else after that is speculation, right?
Yeah.
But if you, like, you know, play that game, I think the idea that that David Chase started with that opening shot is, again, part of his brilliance.
That's interesting. Mark Unger is my guest. He is an actor and a comedian. Mark, so I hear what you're saying. I almost think, though, going to black is just, and I'm not breaking ground here, this was the theory that he just got killed right there, and that's why it went to black. My issue with it is Don't Stop Believin'. Love the song, Under the Right Circumstances. I thought that was a strange choice, though.
Oh, I think that when David Chase decided that was going to be, and he has said this in interviews, that, you know, people on the crew are like, what are you, crazy? But you know, the lyrics are perfect. The movie never ends. It goes on and on and on and on. And yeah. What that does is it gives fans of the show this perfect, absolutely perfect ending. Because you get to decide what happens next. When does that ever happen? I mean, you know, Breaking Bad, he dies.
Right.
We all saw that coming. He dies. Of course he dies. But Sopranos, you have no idea what happens. Does Meadow walk through that door and they sit down and they eat their dinner and, you know, eventually Tony Soprano either, you know, dies that day or another day and Meadow takes over the family or who knows?
Or does she catch a stray bullet? I mean, you don't.
Right.
I can see both sides of the argument. Is it a cop-out? Kind of, but not really. It's also kind of brilliant. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those great arguments.
I don't see the cop-out argument, honestly, at all. Because of all the pieces that were put into place. You know, you mentioned, you know, black. Well, Bobby Bacala, he talks about that, like, you don't hear it coming or something. And then there's that that scene with Meadow and Tony and Anthony Jr. Mm-hmm. where they're talking about the Robert Frost poem and black versus white. So there's all these, like, hints that all right. that does is it just makes it literature. It allows us to do things you don't get to do at the end of other shows.
Right.
Which, you know, have a radio show. And talk about this stuff and talk about it. What? We're almost 20 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun. And sometimes you can, like, I cherry pick the stuff off social media when someone has an interesting take, like, I'm going to say something too. I know you're going to disagree with, and I'm anxious to hear what you say. And there's no, again, I rewatched The Sopranos like 2 years ago for the second time. I didn't think it held up as well.
Why?
I don't know. It just seemed dated. I don't know if it was the mafia stuff. I mean, I've read a ton of mob books. I've seen a ton of mob movies. And maybe it's just that I thought, like, I like the mob stuff. But when Tony's mother or sister are on screen, I want to pull my hair out. And that's part of this, you know, that's part of his drama and his life. I get that. I just didn't find it as interesting. And I can't really put my finger on it, but those are a couple things.
Well, the one thing that I would say is I think the last season, I don't think it lived up to previous seasons. I think that, I mean, I did like the, you know, the stuff when he's in the hospital and, you know, he's in a coma and he's dreaming. And I thought that stuff was interesting, but I thought the Vito Spadafore, is that his last name? When he, you know, we find out that he's gay and he has to go on the lam, and he's up in New Hampshire or wherever he was. And there's the Johnny Cakes and all that stuff. I thought that was kind of dragged out and unnecessary.
Yeah.
But mostly because I thought the actor, I mean, clearly the guy hit the jackpot, but I thought the actor wasn't strong enough to carry a lead role.
Interesting. Mark, let's pause right there. We'll just keep you for a couple more minutes, if that's okay. We got a really short break here. We'll be right back with more Soprano talk and talk about Mark's show, Thespian. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire. Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. It is a bar band Friday night. We've got new music coming your way at 7:35. Compliments of Max Inc. Radio and Rocker, who will be filling in for Terry Barr tonight. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our pal, Mark Unger. He is an actor and creator of the show Thespian. His acting credits, like you just heard before, include Friends, and he is a lover of The Sopranos, as most people are. Mark, so here's what I thought.
I got to say.
Yeah.
This is so nostalgic for me. I just heard Fond du Lac County, and it brought me back to so many gigs I did a million years ago, and just hearing Wisconsin and cheese and Pete Schwabba.
Yeah, man.
Hey, this is a privilege.
You need to come back. We need to set up a one-nighter for old time's sake.
And, that would be great.
But I'll open it, and you can close that sucker. I want no part of that. So, all right. So, Mark, one of the things I really liked, the way the storylines between Tony and Christopher happened, because that struck me as being so realistic, is how these bonds, it's all about family and omerta and all that. But at the end of the day, they're just trying to survive. And I love that, how that relationship ended.
Well, I think that's one of the brilliant things about the show is, yes, it's about the mob life, but it's also about, on some level, and this is going to sound a little twisted, the way East Coast families communicate with each other. Like, I grew up on the East Coast, so that's what I know. But just, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. There is it's about family, you know, thematically, it's really dense. You know, you said something earlier about, you know, earlier that season when Tony kills Chris, and somehow that's supposed to, you know, sort of give license for Tony to also be killed. But you have to remember, Chris was also a psychopath.
Oh, yeah.
All of these characters, every one of these characters were not, I mean, they were not just like kind of bad.
Right.
They were absolute psychopaths.
Right.
But yet we cared about them and we bought in to the family dynamic. We cared, you know, what school Meadow was going to get into. I mean, how do you write more brilliantly than that?
Well, and that's to me, it was those moments where Christopher was so normal at times, but then you knew with this side of him, and that part of it, they pulled off beautifully. No question about that.
It's why I think The Sopranos is so much better than a show like Breaking Bad. And somebody else could argue, no, you're wrong. You're stupid. You have no idea. But in my opinion, Breaking Bad was sort of cookie cutter, meaning that you've got this guy who he's good. And then in season two, he's not as good. And in season three, he's even not as good. And it was like this very sort of linear path downward. Whereas The Sopranos was messy and complicated and you cared, but you weren't sure why you cared, like from the beginning. You didn't have to have a moment like, I'm the guy who knocked. Breaking Bad,
right?
But you don't need that scene.
You know, it's funny too. Like I would have been, and I didn't. It's one of those shows where I don't know if I liked any of the characters. I liked watching them. I found them interesting, and that's all I need. But if they would have blown Tony's head off at the end, I would have been okay with that too. I would have been like, "Oh, that was interesting." You know what I mean? So I kind of liked that they left it open. Mark, we have a couple minutes. Tell us about Thespian.
Well, Thespian is a show that my wife and I created. You know, I live in Baltimore, and the first episode of the series, you know, basically I find myself back in Baltimore living, and this is autobiographical, the first episode, living across the street from the apartment that I had left 25 years earlier to start my career. In the show, my character moved to New York, but my truth is, I left that apartment to move to Chicago, and that's when I met guys like you. And so the first episode is, you know, this guy, he's married, he's back in Baltimore, living across the street. And, you know, rather than blow his brains out, he decides to go back to his first passion. You know, he's a comedian.
Yeah.
He goes back to his first passion, which is, you know, legitimate acting, straight acting, whatever word you want to use or phrase you want to use.
Right.
And so story is about Adam at 50 years old reinventing himself as a serious actor. And it's really funny. It's poignant. You know, it's one I think, and the reviews that we've gotten and what people have said to me, it really resonates, particularly with people that are, I mean, if you're 20, you might laugh at some stuff, but you're not going to really get it.
Right.
But if you're like 35, 40 plus, you know, themes of remaining relevant as you age, family, death, and you know, just, it's a really good show and it's really funny and everybody should watch it.
It's great. I could not agree more. And yeah, keep up the great work, buddy. This was fun. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, man. Thanks for having me.
Pick another show and say something that's really cool about it. And we'll do it again.
That sounds great.
Okay. Have a great night, Mark. Thanks.
Take care, man.
Yeah, bye-bye. You too. That's Mark Unger. Ladies and gentlemen, check out Thespian. Just Google Mark Unger Thespian. Great show. I remember watching the first season. I'll have to see where they're at now and catch up, but it's very well done. All right. It is a Bar Band Friday night. After the news at the bottom of the hour, Rocker will be here to tell us some really cool stuff about music that you need to know. All the new music I find is from Max Inc. Radio, and it's excellent. Amanda Nimmer on the social media says, Persian donuts. That's another one for Persian donuts. I think I have to revisit. I mean, I like Persian donuts. Michael.
I think I've tried one.
I bet you have. They call them different things, I think.
I don't know all the donut names. I feel like you gotta. I know Long John's, though.
A lot of Googling to do. Michael from Tosa says air fryer donuts, like beignets, maybe? Okay. Or the Krispy Kreme? No, those aren't air fried, though. All right, we'll get into this. We've got some more text to read. What's your favorite donut, folks? Style or brand? Let us know. That's our Nightlight question of the night. When we come back, Rocker from Max Inc. Radio will be here with some new tunes. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Love me, you hate me, you know me, and then you can figure out the back. 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. After calls for him to be returned to the U.S. and an order from the Supreme Court, Kilmo Abrego Garcia, who was deported to his native El Salvador in March, has been returned to the U.S., only to find himself a criminal defendant. Accused of human smuggling and other charges by the Justice Department, his lawyer denies the charges. On the streets of Los Angeles, protests after a series of ICE immigration raids across the city. The demonstrators seen throwing objects, getting in front of vehicles. Mayor Karen Bass showing up at one raid site.
We know ICE has been here, but it's been for targeted arrests. This was just mass chaos, and it sows a sense of chaos in our city and a sense of terror, and it's just unacceptable.
Friday, the former police chief and convicted killer Grant Hardin captured just a mile and a half from the prison where he escaped, near the Arkansas-Missouri border. This is ABC News.
The Brewers take on the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 2 of a 3-game series is tonight in Milwaukee between the Brewers and the San Diego Padres. Last night, the Brewers shut out 2-0. Milwaukee with just 4 hits and several times leaving 2 men on with 2 outs, unable to score any runs. Manager Pat Murphy.
We leave 10 on base. That's a tough... It's a tough go when you don't score and leave 10 on base. You know, there was some opportunities there, but, you know, Churio hits the ball on the barrel 4 times and gets 1 hit. We didn't get the timely hit. Give them credit. They executed, and they got the big home run when they needed it.
A special guest, Packers rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden, on hand to throw out the first pitch. Over 32,000 fans in attendance. In La Crosse, Wisconsin, it's the state high school track and field meet in Division I. Grady Len from De Pere ran the 1,600-meter race in just 4 minutes and 1.7 seconds, setting a new state record. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not sure if Steve Carell has big feet, but his shoes will be tough to fill. No one knows that more than Domhnall Gleeson, who will play the boss on a new spinoff of NBC's The Office. The paper will feature the same documentary film crew from The Office, even though it was never really featured, as they record the daily happenings of a dying local newspaper, and it will be brought to you by the same team that brought you the American version of The Office. Gleeson, the son of actor Brendan Gleeson, knows the challenges he faces. The actor said he recently received encouraging words from Carell's Office co-star, John Krasinski, who reassured the actor that he was in great hands with executive producer Greg Daniels. Daniels successfully rebooted Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant's show of the same title from the UK. Although the title is different, the challenges faced in the paper are the same faced by those who ran a fictitious paper. Company. There is no release date yet, but the paper will premiere in September on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny, highs in the upper 70s today. Slight chance of a thunderstorm this afternoon. Chance of a storm tonight with a low around 55. Showers and thunderstorms on Sunday with a high near 75. Clearing out tomorrow night with a low around 52. Monday, showers in 67.
Right now, it's 62.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
On Monday, we'll get our forecast for the week from Brittany Merlot, and we'll be on point with Kristen Ambles.
Plus, Beth Kowalski joins us from the Neville Public Museum, and Emily Smith stops by from the Greater Green Bay YMCA. Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Time to check out original music with Bar Band Friday on Nightlight. Now, your host, Pete Schwabba, and special guest, Terry Barr.
Welcome. Welcome back to Nightlight and a Bar Band Friday night. Very well said, Mr. Michaels. As many of you know, Terry Barr is on vacation, a very well-earned and deserved vacation. She will be back. Will she be back next week, Conrad? Or the week after? She was unsure, too. I just hope she comes back. Yes. That's all I'm saying. But in the meantime, we are in great hands because our pal and Terry's co-host at Max Inc. Radio, Rocker, is joining us in Terry's absence, which is always fun, too. Hey, buddy.
What's happening, Pete? Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you for doing this. I'm so glad we didn't have to take a break from our Bar Band Fridays while Terry was gone. So you just stepped right in, and it's fantastic. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. It's Friday. We're excited about that. Your week is just starting, though, because you have this great show called Max Inc. Radio, which is a six-hour dealio on Saturday night, and that takes some serious planning, doesn't it?
It does. We spend a lot of time each week planning the show, and 6 hours of radio, at least we get to spin a lot of music, Wisconsin-made music, so that takes up some of the time where we don't have to talk the entire time. But we are 6 p.m. to midnight on Saturday nights on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we repeat Sunday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. So if you miss Saturday, you can always pick up Sunday. And find us at civicmedia.us/Max Inc. Radio, M-A-X-I-N-K Radio. Tomorrow night, Wisconsin-made music, interviews, and live in the Lair, we have cannabis DNP, Jesse Christensen. He got his doctorate degree in studying cannabis and THC and now teaches at the university. So, you know, rather than sometimes always having, like, dispensary and retail people talking about their products, we're going to actually have somebody who has a doctorate degree.
Wow.
And we're going to check this out and ask them all the hard questions, right?
Wow.
Mary Rose Eckberg, she's with Make Music Madison. That's June 21st is Make Music Madison. And that's a citywide festival, the city here. And there's some, they happen around Wisconsin, but Madison is a real big one. And there's probably 600 gigs. They happen all over the city. And Make Music Madison actually pays for the permits so that anybody can have a stage anywhere from like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Wow.
In Madison. So we get to talk to her about what's going on. Yeah, it's a pretty crazy event. That's Make Music Madison, and that happens June 21st. Around the world, actually, it's a world festival. Live in the Lair, we have the Red Door Duo.
Yeah.
Got to get those D's in line there. And they're just an amazing string players and a duet that sing together. I think it's going to be a brilliant live performance. Red Door Duo is a singer-songwriter, international fingerstyle guitar champion, Helen Avakian, and she's joining forces with Dave Irwin, an acclaimed jazz, bluegrass, and Brazilian guitarist and vocalist. So I got a little clip that we can play and hear what Red Door Duo is like. This song is called I'm Coming Home.
All right.
Sunshine through the window, I can smell the pines. Rose bringing me closer, I'm already there in my mind. Not in any hurry, I'm enjoying the ride. Familiar song on the radio, taking me back in time. I'm coming home. That's where I wanna be. I'm coming home. Coming home.
dude, I love acoustic guitars and strings and all that. That's going to be a great Live in the Lair tomorrow.
And they're also going to be breaking out, I think she said, banjo, mandolin.
Oh, man. Love it.
All kinds of crazy instruments. So we're going to have our hands full on the mixing board. That's for sure.
That's great. All right. That's tomorrow night on Live at the and Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Radio. You can hear the Red Door Duo. Great stuff, rocker. And then I'm sure you're excited to tell us the next thing on your list, the Dane County Emergency Management. This is pretty cool. And this is just this is Sunday. So please tell us about this.
Sunday, June 8th, coming up, it's the Dane County Emergency Management Cardiac Arrest Survivor Celebration.
Wow.
And I happen to be one of the survivors, yeah. So I'm going to be going to Warner Park's Duck Pond for the Mallards game, and I get to fulfill something on my bucket list. I get to throw out the first pitch in the game.
Very cool.
And then I get to tell my story and talk about the importance of CPR training and portable AED units. So it'll be pretty cool. And I actually will get to meet the first responders who saved my life.
Wow.
So it's a pretty neat event. It all happens at the Mallards game coming up this Sunday at Warner Park in Madison.
That is going to be outstanding. So are you ready for the pitch, rocker? Because a lot of people do this and they haven't thrown in like years and it goes all over the place. Are you ready for the pitch?
Oh, I'm ready for it. Okay. I have a dog and I was a pitcher when I was a kid. So,
oh, sweet.
I should have no problem. And, you know, I've seen a couple of the other former presidents throw some pitches. Ooh. And they didn't even make home plate. So I'm not going to worry about it.
Okay. I have faith in you. all right. Well, that's a great event. So I'm excited for you. Are you going to have any video shot or anything you're going to play on your show next week from that? That's a really special event.
Oh, I didn't plan on it. Hopefully they'll be taking some, yeah, you know, press type stuff at the ballpark.
Well, have a great time. That sounds
it's going to be fun.
Well deserved.
Looking
forward
to it.
Cool. All right. Cool. So tell us about Super Tanker.
Super Tanker is this great rock band from here in Madison, and it actually features the guitarist. He is a writer for the Todd Albaugh Show here on Civic Media, and they're just a great band, and this is a great song, and they'll be playing Thursday, June 12th at the High Noon Saloons for the Summer Patio Series, so that starts at like 5:30 at night, right?
Yeah.
And it's out on the patio. It's just, when there's gorgeous weather, it's an amazing show. Here is Super Tanker. This song is Idol. It's called Internet Declaration of Love, and it's about going on and saying everything on Facebook.
Love
Let's
it.
Hear it.
I love that. That's Madison's own Super Tanker. Compliments of rocker. That is great. And I've got my own theories about people that say way too much on social media. So that's a great song.
Go on, get it out there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, fantastic. Okay. So rocker is my guest. He is one of the co-hosts of Max Inc. Radio. He is filling in for Terry Barr tonight and bringing us new music like we do here every Friday for Barr Band Friday night. So, all right. So, who's next, rocker? You want to talk about the True North Music and Food Festival?
Yeah, they just announced this True North Music and Food Festival, and it's perfect because it's also at the Duck Pond in Warner Park in Madison. It's coming up Saturday, September 27th, so it's a ways out, but it's a brand-new festival.
Yeah.
$2 from each of the tickets goes to benefit the Deus Foundation, which is for abused women. And It's going to feature Pokey Lafarge, Mama Dig Down's Brass Band, the the People Brothers Band, Spectaculous, and Darren Starrood of the New Orleans Tribute Band. So it's going to be pretty cool. You can get more information at TrueNorthFest.com. So the north side of Madison, we're coming in with a new festival.
Not that Madison needs another festival, but that's outstanding. I love
that's
that.
That's probably why they had to put it at September 27th. So yeah, right. It's a ways out. People can get more information about that festival. And going back to the patio at the High Noon Saloon, Friday the 13th, that evil day at Dogtown Hollow, they're going to be playing on the Summer Patio Series at the High Noon Saloon. They're Roots Rock Americana from Madison. They're also going to be playing July 13th at Art Fair on the Square here in Madison. And July 26th, Atwood Fest. They'll be playing the Sugar Maple Stage. So I'd bring in a little clip of Dogtown Hollow. This song is from their new album, Rivers, Roads, and Bridges. This is Roll, Roll, Roll.
All right.
Grew up on that river, climbed up that old hill. Well, people said, son, you don't know, but someday you will. Now life down on the river, as tough as it is sweet. People down that river, some of the best you'll ever meet. And they're gonna roll, roll, roll. Just roll right down that stream. Deserts to the sea. One thing that I've found is love will set you free. And as you go out wandering, we'll be just who you are. Take some bit of courage, but that'll take you far as you roll.
Boy, I bet they're a fun live band.
Yeah, Dogtown Hollow.
Yeah.
Really good songs, really good album, Rivers, Roads, and Bridges. It's their latest album. Just came out, I think, February. Dogtown Hollow.
That's great.
Check them out online.
All right. Very cool. Oh, we're jamming through this list, dude. Okay. So then next, Rocker's all about business. I love this, man. I love getting a little sampling like this. This is so cool. Red Door Duo is on the show tomorrow night. They'll be live in the lair. And we've got, who's next, Rocker? Who do you want to do next here?
You know, Jenny Lupine and Jamie Poster. She is a Nebraska native. She was a physical therapist and gymnast coach, but needed an outlet with her music and voice. And she's a singer-songwriter, teamed up with guitarist Jamie Poster. You might know him from rock bands like Rapscallion and Faces for Radio. And tonight, June 6th, they're at the Sip and Shop in New Glarus. And they'll also be at the Missouri Tavern on Highway 12 here in Madison on June 11th at 6 p.m. That's a great place to go. And then June 14th at the Beer Rock in North Sherman Plaza. That's in Madison as well.
Wow.
And we have a clip. This is Jenny Lupine. This is called Angels Go to War.
Love it.
Just give it 2 seconds because we can go out on this, actually.
So. Okay, we'll go to break on this song, and we'll come back with Rocker from Max Inc. Radio on Bar Band Friday Night.
People of dreams. Through your eyes, what's this life supposed to bring? Will you ever be happy or loved enough? Or are you waiting for another to fill your cup? Sunrise to sunset, angels be with me today. And in the nighttime, I need you even more. Angels watch over me, my heart has grown cold. Now my angel goes to war.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed two election bills May 2nd, one of which includes provisions for poll workers to challenge the citizenship of voters in the polling place, a ban on ranked choice voting, and a higher bar for third parties. Among several new provisions, House File 954 authorizes state election officials to access federal agency databases and gives local election officials authority to challenge citizenship of a registered voter at the polls. A recent presidential executive order now allows access to those databases. If a voter is not able to provide documentation at the polls, they would be forced to use a provisional ballot. Only days before the 2024 election, the Secretary of State's office challenged the eligibility of over 2,100 registered voters. Most were naturalized citizens or data errors, while 277 were registered non-citizens. Of those, only 35 voted out of 1.7 million ballots cast. Pro-voter groups argue such mass challenges intimidate legitimate naturalized citizens from voting. Two provisions in 954 attempt to protect major party power. It bans ranked choice voting for any election in Iowa and raises the bar for third parties to field candidates. Third parties now need to garner 2% of the vote in three consecutive elections to qualify for the ballot. We have more on HF 954 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Now that the weather is almost steadily nice, it's time to really enjoy the outdoors, especially in our downtown areas. Hey, it's Amanda with another new WISCO 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And mark your calendars for June 7th, because the Oshkosh Gallery Walk is presenting a night gallery from 6 till 9 p.m. Six artists will be showcasing their work in the Algoma Art Alley with live music, fresh handcrafted beverages, and a beautiful evening to kickstart your June month. Go to WISS.FM and click events to find out more.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our estate with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I am Pete Schwab. Monday night on the show, actor Lance Barber, who is from the show Young Sheldon, will join us Monday night, and we'll talk about the life of Michael J. Fox. Our question tonight was, what is your favorite donut style or brand? We've got some great responses. I'll read the last couple texts here, and we will get back to Barb and Friday night. Lori from Hayward says, hey, Pete, I hope you get this in time. My favorite donut is not one that I actually ate, but rather one that I bought for my daughter when she was little. It was a raised donut with a chocolate glazed topping, and the donut itself was as big as a 9 or 10 in dinner plate. The look in her eyes and on her face was priceless. It took her both hands to hold it up for the photo before she chowed down. The donut came from the bakery at the Co-op grocery store in Hayward, which unfortunately closed years ago. Sorry about that, Lori. I'll be in trouble if I tell you how long ago it was, because my daughter would not want me to tell her age on the air, but she is now a grandmother herself. Lori from Hayward. Yeah, you don't eat as many donuts when you get older, do you, Lori? Steady Eddie says, Pete, favorite morning donut? Two or three big fat chocolate cake donuts with tons of chocolate frosting. Oh, and Pete, I make sure my donuts have some chopped peanuts. Oh, there you go. There you go, Conrad, the chopped peanuts.
Still don't sprinkle.
I'll take those over sprinkles. I'm sorry. He says, because I'm trying to eat healthy. Steady Eddie, sure you are. Michael from Tosa says they are made. He's talking about the air fryer donuts using Pillsbury biscuits. Punch out a hole in the middle and then done. Baste with melted butters, then dunk in a sugar cinnamon mix. Oh my God, I'm getting hungry. You can, he says, you can also air fry the middles to make the donut holes. Very nice. Aunt Carla checks in, says, maple frosting with bacon on a Long John. I'll take that. Thank you, Aunt Carla. Good to see you again. PJ on the stream says, I worked at a friend's family bakery when I was 19, so I was able to consume all types and styles of donuts. My favorites are jelly or custard filled. Folks, the message of this show, just eat as many donuts as you possibly can, preferably while you're listening to Nightlight. Thank you for all the texts tonight, folks. Thank you to Mark Unger and Mike Clemens. We've got a few more minutes with our pal Rocker here, who is courageously filling in for Terry Barr while she's on vacation on Bar Band Friday night. Rocker, do you have a favorite donut?
I would have to say the chocolate-covered custard-filled donut.
Ooh, that's a big one tonight. You joined Conrad.
You know?
There. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're popular.
He knows music, folks, and he knows donuts. all right, so where do we leave off here?
You know what? I wanted to talk about the Atwood Music Hall.
Oh, please.
Have you heard of that yet?
I just heard of it, but please tell us.
Atwood Music Hall is Madison's newest live music venue, and it's an 800-seat kind of theater-type venue. Jeez. It'll be opening on Atwood Avenue, and it's by the same owner of the Burr Oak here in Madison. Their grand opening is going to be Friday, June 13th. They're going to be doing a tribute to Clyde Stubblefield. You know Clyde Stubblefield, right?
Sure.
Drummer for James Brown. He's the most sampled drummer in all of history, and he really deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And there's a movie that's being made about him called Give the Drummer Some, and they're trying to get him into the Hall of Fame. He's got sticks there, but they want his bust there. And DJ Trevor Banks is going to be filling in at that show to open it up, and he's the director of the movie, and Joey Banks is his dad. If you don't know who Joey Banks is, he's in about every band you can think of in Madison that's like funky, but he's in Steely Dane would probably be the most.
Oh, yeah.
But he's also in the Funky JBs, and the Funky JBs plays music from Clyde Stubblefield and the James Brown, and also the songs that Clyde used to love to play, some of the covers. So it's a really good show. Mama Dig Down's Brass Band, Rare Element, VO5, tons of stuff happening there. and that's coming up Friday, June 13th, so right around the corner. There's more information at www.atwoodmusichall.com. I brought in here a little James Brown. How about some Sex Machine?
Oh, yeah, sweet.
Get on up, get up, get on up, get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up like a sex machine, get on up, get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up like a sex machine, get on up. Wait a minute. Shake your arm, then use your palm. Stay on the scene, like a sex machine. You got to have the feeling, sure you're born. Get it together, right on, right on. Get up,
get on up.
Get up,
get on up.
Get up,
get on up.
Love that. That's a great way to go out on a Friday, Rocker. Terry was telling us about that Clyde Stubble project too. That sounds so cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the film, and I hope he makes the funds. There's a seed starter out there to help him fund the movie, so
nice.
Please, Clyde Stubblefield, he was just an awesome resident here in Madison.
That's
we
so
all
cool.
Loved him.
We've got about 45 seconds to a minute left. Any closing info you want to get out there, buddy?
MaxSync Radio, 6 p.m. to midnight on Saturdays. Repeat on Sundays. Find us at civicmedia.us/MaxSync Radio.
I love it. Awesome, buddy. Is Terry back next week, or do we get you again?
No, I believe she's back. I think she'll be back. Maybe reluctantly, but I believe she'll be back.
Have a great show tomorrow night, buddy, and thank you again. Always fun to connect.
Thanks, B. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Rocker. Go check him throwing out the first pitch. How cool is that, Conrad? You ever think he'd throw out a first pitch?
I really want to.
Maybe you should go run. Go run and knock Rocker over. Pull a Tanya Harding and steal Rocker's thunder.
No, I couldn't do that.
That would be a terrible thing to do. Tom from New Berlin says, Pete, you're the best. Conrad, tea time tomorrow is 9. It cost $1.250.
So is...
Who's bringing the donuts, though?
You know, I'll bring the Long Johns.
All right.
You bring the clubs. I'm not going to bring in my set.
I'd be willing to bet Tom in the 414 is a good golfer. Thank you, everybody, tonight. Thank you to Rocker. Rocker's awesome. Have a great show tomorrow night. Check out Max Inc. Radio tomorrow night. Thank you to Mark Unger and Mike Clemens. Thank you to Conrad, the lovable producer. I'm Pete Schwabba. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're coming back Monday night with Lance Barber. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass said federal immigration enforcement activity in the city Friday was an attempt to sow terror. Federal agents took more than 40 people into custody. This woman recounted her experience.
We ran because one of the persons say ICE in Spanish. So that's how basically the one that scattered. But the elderly people that were not able to run, those were the ones that got caught.
There were demonstrators on the streets overnight, and police used tear gas to disperse a crowd. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the Maryland resident mistakenly deported to El Salvador, has returned to the U.S., where he's facing federal charges of allegedly transporting undocumented migrants. President Trump told reporters he has not thought about talking to Elon Musk amid their high-profile falling out. The president did speak with Chinese leader Xi Jinping, but acknowledged there's been no progress on a trade deal. This is ABC News. Law